A very good morning to those of you listening from home, from us at Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. We invite you to join us in our morning service for Remembrance Sunday, the 8th of November, led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship on this Remembrance Sunday. On this day of memory, we gather to sing and to pray. We remember the past and look to the future. On this day, when we remember the guns falling silent, we come before God seeking peace. On this day of hope, in the face of terror, we come before God praying with all our hearts, God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. In this time of story, song and prayer, may we be recommitted to being people of peace, true peace. May we catch a vision of how the world could live together. And so may we echo the old prayer, make us channels of your peace. Past struggles shape us, O God.
We are called to remember their impact.
The heroism of ordinary men and women challenges us, O God.
We are called to honour their memory.
The dark side of conflict influences us, O God.
We are called to recognise its power.
The sacrifice of military personnel and civilians humbles us, O God.
Greater love has no one than this, that one lays down one's life for another.
Our opening hymn, O God, our help in ages past.
Oh,
Let us pray. Creating God, you grasp chaos and shake it into new heavens brimming with light, new earth teeming with life. You delight in your children so much that before we finish our sentences, you have heard our hearts. Before we whisper our dreams, you fill our needs. Word of God, you shape our lips and loosen our tongues that we might witness to your kingdom, where enemies take naps together, where meat-eaters become vegetarians. Spirit of wisdom, open us that we might trust without fear. Fill us that we might discern our call to faithfulness. Teach us that we would make known our thanks to the farthest shores of the universe. As sabres rattle in lands both close and distant, we confess that we are in pain. Fear has taken root in the souls of our being. Even as we turn to the parables, familiar stories that we thought we loved, we find troubling stories offering ever more questions. Lord, have mercy. We are loath to take account of the many ways in which we unwittingly profit from the machinery of war and greed. Still, we read the parables of Jesus, which fly in the face of social convention, offending those who dare to listen. Christ, have mercy. Believing that we are insignificant, and at the same time fearful that we might become so, we are timid to use our voices to speak truth to a world of war. Now the parables of Jesus offer a new vision. Now the servants dine and the masters serve. Now the last becomes first and the first becomes last. Lord, have mercy. Hear the good news of the story, that no sheep is unworthy of rescue, no coin too small to be missed. Hear the good news, that love is stronger than hate, and that this power is alive within you, now and for ever. Amen. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us in its traditional format. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone in the St Andrews and Wallington congregations, and an especial good morning and welcome to all the uniform groups on this special Sunday of Remembrance. So, I just wanted to talk about why we are all taking part in this service, the service that happens every year and has done so in churches across the UK since the end of World War I in 1918, 102 years ago. Remembrance means the act of remembering something special or significant. So, why is remembering important? And why do we have a special service of remembrance each year? Remembering is an important skill. We must remember things all the time, every day. Remembering to take your packed lunch to school, remembering your mum's birthday, remembering to do your homework, remembering to turn off the iron or the oven, remembering where your keys are. The list goes on and on. I remember going to stay with my grandparents, who lived near the sea, each school summer holiday. We would walk to the beach each morning, but often my grandma would ask my granddad to buy something at the nearby shops that she needed, such as potatoes or a loaf of bread. My granddad would tie a knot in his handkerchief and tell me that that would remind him. As a small child, I was never sure how this would help, but somehow it did. I have such happy memories of my granddad, playing all morning on the beach with him and my brother and him teaching me to swim in the sea, but I will come back to him later. These days, if I want to remember something to do, I write a to-do list, or I set a reminder on my phone, or add it to my calendar. Recently, I have been reminded of happy occasions because photographs have appeared on my phone screen, showing me where I was and what I was doing the same time last year, or 2 years ago, or even longer ago. Maybe I had forgotten a particular event, like a wedding I went to, or a holiday I had, but the photos remind me. I sometimes forward the photo to a friend or relation and say, "Do you remember what fun we had?" or "Where were we? I can't remember." So sometimes people, photos and objects jog our memories. Very often we must work hard to remember something important, and sometimes we must learn something first and then remember it, like a poem or our times tables or how to spell a difficult word. Aren't our brains amazing? But what are we particularly asked to remember today on Remembrance Sunday? Sadly, it is not a joyous or fun event, but if I take you back to my memories of my granddad, I can explain. You see, I said he taught me to swim. The stroke he taught me was front crawl. But whereas I used both arms to push myself through the water, he only used one. He had two arms, but his left arm was very weak and didn't work very well, so he couldn't use it to swim. As a child, I accepted this and wasn't even particularly curious. But later, my mum explained he had been injured in the war. My granddad always seemed reluctant to explain or talk about it. And although I didn't forget, I put it to the back of my mind until I was much older. But here's the thing. What happened was that he fought in a big battle known as the Battle of the Somme. It took place in France in 1916 and lasted for many weeks. He was a young man, not yet 20, and at some point a shell exploded and he was severely injured in the shoulder and back. He spent some months in hospital, but he survived, got married and had three children, and then became my granddad, who taught me to swim. And it must be said, also taught me to be kinder to and love my rather annoying younger brother, because he was a gentleman and he didn't like arguments. Remembrance Day for me is an opportunity to remember him and to give thanks for all men and women who have fought for freedom, for their country and to protect others from harm. The poppies that we wear today and the names that will be read out later in the service are reminders to us of the harm that war does to everyone all over the world. So I always remember the knots in my granddad's handkerchief and give thanks that he survived to teach me to swim. I also know that he played the bugle in the army and it was his job to sound the last post. We will hear it played later in the service before the 2 minute silence. It was played by the bugler to tell those still fighting or wounded or separated from their fellow soldiers that the fighting was finished and to follow the call of the bugle to find safety and rest. Today it helps us, along with our poppies, to remember those who have lost their lives in wars or have been injured, and whose lives and those of their families will never be the same. Today also reminds us that God commanded us to love each other just as God loves us. It is important to remember this every day.
Our first reading this morning is from John chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Our second reading is from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 to 18.
Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit.
May God bless to us these readings from his holy word.
Our hymn, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Flanders Field by John McCrae. In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the lark still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below, we are the dead short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high, if ye break faith with us who die. We shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
We remember those from the congregation of St. Andrews who died in the service of their country. Hamish Cooper Barber, Frank Stanley Barnes, Arthur Cecil Bawtry, Ivan Gordon Butcher, David Ian Cameron, William James Carlyle, Harold Victor Clark, Ian Duncan Brodie Danks, Ralph Stidston Don, James Forburn Doyle, Douglas Arthur Townsend Everett, Dennis Wilfred Victor Francis, Jack Donald Harris, Donald Blair Rowett Johns, Henry Johnston, Ronald George McCracken, Cyril Howard Griffith Martin, Morris Price, Thomas Elliot Robb, Ian Gordon Taylor, Alexander Smith Waterston.
We remember those from Wallington who lost their lives in the First World War. Edward Keith Ogilvy Ferguson, Alexander Ebenezer Erskine Hill, William McCosh Hislop, Archie Inglis, James Herbert Sayer, Walter Douglas Shaw, Wilfred Appleton White, Caleb J. Brooks, William C. Brooks, Reginald C. Brooks, Wilton Ingram, Cyril Young, Frank Palethorpe. And from the Second World War, Robert Cooper Frost, Stanley Hollett, Bruce William Holman, Harry James Nichols, Peter Warner, Charles Edward Blair, John Hastings Eastwood, Ian Wartherson Mingies, Gaythorne Field Upton, Robert Maxwell Wilson.
Thank you. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. And the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we'll remember them. We'll remember them. The names, the faces, the stories, the events, we'll remember them. For we dare not do any other, for lest this humanity forgets. As this fragile world becomes ever older, as we that are left grow older with it. As we grow weary of condemnation, and seek the new beginning of reconciliation and peace, as we affirm in this place that the morning of promise will come ever again from the dark night of pain. Lest this world forgets, we will remember.
Let us pray. On this Remembrance Day we come, O Lord, in gratitude for all who have died that we might live, for all who endured pain that we might know joy, for all who suffered imprisonment that we might know freedom. Turn our deep feelings into deeds, that as others have died for peace, we may live for peace, for the sake of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today, we remember those who served our country in times of war. We make a special effort to remember those who lost their lives in defending this country's values of peace and personal freedom. Earlier this year, Dame Vera Lynn died, and listening again to some of her wartime music, it is very easy to be nostalgic. It is music that stirs the heart, fans the flicker of patriotic spirit into a bright flame, and brings a tear to the eye, and almost makes us wish for the good old days. I say almost, because I don't think that this is really why we want to remember. While it is true that the war brought out the best in many people and in the country, it is not something we would want simply to repeat in order to become more noble and less selfish. Certainly not. But who can listen to the line, "There will be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover, and those that follow it," and not be moved? We are moved, though, because at that time there was no peace. There were no bluebirds. Young men and some young women in uniform were dying, and an evil dictator was almost successful in a diabolical plan to exterminate European Jews. Cities in Europe were being devastated by bombs and by the tyranny of occupation, and the idea of safe passage across the Atlantic was only a dream. Half a world away, across the Pacific, another almost separate war was raging between our side and yet another nation. 75 years is not such a long time in the history of the world, but it is a long time in the history of our country. In those 75 years, the political map of the world has changed tremendously. The empires against which we fought are gone, and their heirs have become trading partners and friends. Immigration has continued to change our society. In so many ways, we are not the same nation that we were in 1945-6. All of this calls us again and again to the task of remembering, so that we can learn from the past and be compelled even more earnestly to work for peaceful solutions to international and internal disputes before we must again resort to the solutions of war. There are conflicts going on now, and some of the most serious and insidious of which are those where governments and military powers have turned against their own peoples in a seemingly insatiable race for power and riches. Their faces are in our news, and their refugees on our doorsteps. It is in this memory of long ago wars, and out of this all too real and present world situation, that we gather to give thanks for past sacrifices, and to seek God's guidance for continued peace in our land, and also to pray for peace throughout the world. To preach the gospel on Remembrance Day is not an easy thing. I find it particularly tricky because I was not born when these wars were taking place, and I cannot hope to understand what it was like. My view of the world is formed by my lifetime of peace, where conflict is at a distance, both geographically and chronologically, whilst many of your views are formed by direct experience of war and conflict. I also have the very strong conviction that to glorify war is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, but at the same time I feel that it is important to be thankful for the sacrifice of those who gave or risked their lives to maintain the peace and freedom for those of us who were as yet unborn. Our gospel reading speaks of love. It speaks of the power of love and the necessity of loving. All too often, the virtue of love is seen as a weakness, as something we can do only when everything is going well. We equate love with a syrupy kind of emotion. We equate love with like. We think love is reserved for ice cream, puppies, and TV programs. Or to be more serious, we get the idea that we can only love those people we like, those with whom we agree, those who are on our side, or those whose race, creed, or nationality match ours. The truth of the gospel presents a very different and indeed a much harder ideal. The word in the original language is agape, and it really is a word of action. To love someone in this biblical way means to act in such a way that their health and well-being come first and foremost. The Christian is called to act for the well-being of another person and, if necessary, to give one's life for another. We know of many examples of this in wartime, but they seem to be more rare in times of peace, and I wonder why. When it is rarely asked of us to give our physical life, why is it so hard to selflessly love another person? These past months of COVID restrictions have proved hard for so many, and whilst most were able to restrict themselves for a limited period to protect others, the longer it has gone on, the harder it has become for increasing numbers. Although we are not being asked to give our physical life, it is hard to love others by acting selflessly rather than selfishly. The biblical account calls us all to this ideal, and it is based not on some intellectual argument for the good of society, but upon the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It is based on the example of God sending his only Son to earth as a gift, so that human beings might have life through him. But isn't love something that just happens? Can love be commanded? No and yes. No, this kind of love does not just happen. And yes, it can be commanded. This kind of love is a conscious decision to live in such a way that our words and actions promote the well-being of others. In wartime, soldiers who had just met found themselves making tremendous sacrifices for one another and found themselves strengthened to give more than they ever thought that they had. Today we are not fighting that kind of war, but we are not without our problems. The ways of the world in these years of the 21st century seem to be bringing out the worst in family, in community, and in business. God's call in Christ to live a life of love presents a strong challenge to live according to another vision, according to another way of looking at things. In the light of the sacrifices remembered today, we are called to give of ourselves for a greater ideal, for the ideal of love and justice in our own land and in the world. This is not easy. Indeed, to live this kind of love is probably the hardest thing we will ever do. To control our need to be right, to restrain our need for power and to be the best, will ask from us much more than we would ever be able to give on our own. But it is what is required of us if we are to form a world of peace and justice in our families, our communities, and ultimately in our world. In the end, we have to realize that what is required of us is that we place our trust in God and in God's power and not in our own power, to trust in God and not in our own strength, our own wisdom, or our own military might. The Epistle of Peter recognizes that this kind of living is not always the formula for worldly success, but it asserts that it is better for the person of faith to suffer for doing good rather than for doing harm. This kind of power comes not from within, not from the human spirit, but from the God who gave us life. This kind of power comes not from ourselves, but from the God who came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, and who through the power of his life, death, and resurrection gave life to the world. It is this power that enables us to put our own agenda aside and to live in love for others. If we want unity, we must, as the letter tells us, seek peace and pursue it. And peace, like love, does not just happen. True peace is more than an absence of war. In order to win the last wars in which we were involved, the entire country had to pull together and to work single-mindedly toward that goal. In our day, our only hope for survival lies in our single-minded pursuit of peace and justice in the broader global context. To remember the past is to give honour to those who gave their lives for peace. To truly and faithfully remember the past is also to put all of our efforts into seeing that our children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren do not have to go to war. It is to put all of our efforts into seeing that love and justice prevail in this country and around the world. By remembering, we hope that the generation before mine is the last generation to know worldwide war. Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Join now in our prayers of intercession. Loving God, as we enter a second national lockdown in response to COVID-19, we pray for all those who are particularly troubled or burdened at this time. We think of those living alone whose contact with others will be limited further. We think of those suffering from anxiety who feel the threat of the virus drawing closer to them. We think of those whose jobs have been affected, those working in non-essential shops, restaurants and fitness centres, who now find themselves furloughed again. We think of the political decision makers who need to chart a safe course out of lockdown and through the winter. We pray that you would provide reassurance and a sense of optimism for the future. We remember that Jesus talked so often about peace, a peace that passes all human understanding, and we ask that you would pour your peace down upon all of those in need. Loving God, on this Remembrance Sunday, peace is on our minds in a different sense. We think of those in our communities who have been affected by conflict, military personnel who have returned from active service broken in body or in mind, those who today are remembering family members back through the generations who were taken too soon by war, and those who are currently charged with keeping us safe through peacekeeping duties and anti-terrorism efforts. But Lord, help us also to remember that you are not just the God of the United Kingdom or of Europe or of the Western democracies. You are creator of the world and all its peoples. Let us never fall into the trap of believing that our fallen are more important than the fallen of other nations. Let us always remember that Jesus told us to love our enemies. Let us remember too that Jesus said the person who wants to be great should be the servant of all. Loving God, we know that peace is not just the absence of war, but is a situation where people are able to live in trust alongside their neighbours. So we pray for the United States, whose presidential election has served to entrench its people even more deeply into two camps full of mistrust and allegation. We ask for your peace to descend upon the United States as the result of the election plays out. We pray also for the many other countries that do not feature in the evening news, but whose citizens suffer from violence and unrest. And we pray for communities within our own country that suffer from crime, political divisions, and uncertainty over the future. Loving God, we remember that your Son, Jesus Christ, was known as the Prince of Peace. Help us to fix our eyes on him daily and to play our part in bringing peace, kindness, and tolerance in every situation where we may find ourselves. Amen.
Our closing hymn. When I survey the wondrous cross. Now we come to leave this sacred time. As we do, may we embrace the challenges of our lives and our world. Now may our wisdom show itself in deeds of compassion and in acts of understanding, and may the fruits of the Spirit be apparent in our lives. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen.